Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
I'm ready to blow with just one more sound.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on Facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbisn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Thanksgiving, conversation and music with Terry Smith. I'm Terry Smith, I'm your host, Surviving Head Trauma, on the Brain Injury Radio Network. Welcome to another month, episode 0083. Tonight, we're going to just relax after a long day of Thanksgiving. We're going to enjoy this evening of music, whatever we decide to discuss tonight, and a little relaxing night after a long day. Welcome, like I said, to another episode. Wherever you are on this planet, whether it's morning, noon, or night, if you're in the Eastern Standard Time Zone of this great planet of ours, it's evening, it's 10 p.m., and I'll be with you until midnight Eastern Standard Time. If you're listening to an archived show, whatever time of the day you're listening, I'd still like to wish you love, because that's what we are trying to understand on this show. Loving and being alive after surviving head trauma. So many people do not survive. Many do and live with the consequences. So tonight, we're going to dive in to a relaxing approach to comprehending this new life and world of ours. So whatever the time of day, whichever part of the world you live, we are going to groove and rock together tonight. So before we dive in, we're going to give a listen to the Brain Injury Association of America. We'll be right back in 21 seconds. Coming to you.
If you've experienced a brain injury, you're not alone. For help, call the Brain Injury Association today at 1-800-444-6443, 1-800-444-6443, on the web at biausa.org.
biausa.org. The reason we often refer to Brain Injury Association of America is so that if you are new to this adventure after brain trauma, you might give them a call if you don't quite know where to turn, or if you need some guidance or some assistance with whatever you're dealing with at this traumatic time. And they are a national organization, and usually you can find a local organization near you, a local chapter near you. They're in almost every state, and if not your state, you can get a reference from them by contacting the national office. And they will guide you in the right direction. They're a good source of reference when you need guidance in many ways, support. Sometimes you're having issues that are beyond your scope, and they can guide you into the right legal direction or the right office to guide whatever your needs are. So remember that address, biausa.org. Now, tonight, before we get in much deeper, we're going to thank our station manager, Kim Justice. She is one of the hosts here as well. She hosts a show, Recovery Now, and she's on sometimes other nights of the week, standing in for other hosts who can't deliver that night. And the network owner, Craig Cecilia, he makes sure that we keep our live voice for this silent epidemic on air. So we'd like to thank them each week because they kind of keep us alive in this broadcast. So thanks, Kim. Thanks, Craig, and all the other hosts on this show, on this network. There's a show generally every night of the week, so you can always tune in and hear some new perspective or different angle of what it's like to survive head trauma and the Brain Injury Radio Network. And you can find us at blogtalkradio.com/braininjuryradio. And we'd like to thank all of the people who follow the network and are supporters of our cause, and that is to bring awareness to sometimes a difficult topic, and that's this invisible illness, that it's invisible injury that leaves us with different types of issues, sometimes severe and sometimes not quite so obvious. You might have to spend a little time with some of us to grasp the comprehensive issues that we deal with. So you are appreciated for tuning in and sharing your plight with us, because without you, we are just speaking into air. So without that, we really don't have a function. So we appreciate you. And tonight, we're going to take it a little bit less seriously, because we know that this has been a big day for people who celebrate Thanksgiving and the time of gratitude. I mean, there are many approaches to this concept of Thanksgiving, but ultimately, I think the objective is to appreciate what we have and not focus on what we don't have so much, or what we've lost maybe with this traumatic brain injury. And with gratitude, we learn to appreciate what is, because oftentimes we don't see some of the things that we have so much because we're so blinded by what we have lost. And that can become debilitating, and we don't want to do that. We want to find what's left and let that be our focus, because if we focus on the good, well, it kind of brings us up to a healthier mindset, and mindset we've learned already that is a major force in overcoming the obstacles that are around us and ahead of us if you're new to this journey. So with that said, we're going to jump into some music, and then we'll come back with a little more thought on the topic of surviving head trauma. We're going to go into the River of Light tonight. So we'll start with a song from Richard Schuping called The River of Light. Richard Schuping was once a guest on this show, and you can find his music on YouTube. Check him out, Richard Schuping and The River of Light. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Richard Schuping and The River of Light on Surviving Head Trauma on the Brain Injury Radio Network. Terry Smith, your host. Richard Schuping, River of Life. It makes you wonder about the river of life itself. Life, life, the thing that we were given after we thought we might not make it. For some of us, not everyone who has a brain trauma has such a severe or critical one, but for those of us who have sustained a critical brain injury, we do appreciate the river of life. And Richard Schuping sings about the river of light. And in this river of life, we need to find that light because that's what helps us get through. And there are some people who work their lives trying to help us see that light. And some of those people are everyday angels that we meet in places we may not expect to. Social media, for example, Facebook is one of the places we broadcast our daily message on surviving head trauma. For example, on Surviving Head Trauma page on Facebook, Surviving Head Trauma page, there are 16,000 followers who frequent the page daily for inspiration, some kind of motivation or information regarding the recovery from brain trauma or life trauma in general, because life is not always a bed of roses or rays of sunshine. But some of the people we meet there are rays of sunshine. Amanda Amundsen is one of them who is one of the speakers of life and light, who helps give us guidance in this world of sometimes darkness. So we must find our angels in a way. If we look, we'll find. So we want to talk about that tonight, about really anything if you would like to reach us tonight on air, you can call us country code 1 if you're not in the United States. And you can reach us at area code 424-243-9540. That's 424-243-9540. And once you're in queue, If you'd like to speak live, press 1 on your phone, and I will see a little emoji go up on the switchboard here in the studio, and I'll bring you on air if you'd like to share your thoughts. If not, you can sit by and listen. And if you're listening to a live show, remember that number for next month, because we're on air each month, fourth Thursday, from 10 p.m. until midnight Eastern Standard Time. Tonight, after Thanksgiving Day, we hopefully have been reflective of what we are thankful for in this world, this journey after brain trauma. And I personally am grateful for so many things, especially the people, the human beings, the living spirits, souls in this world who see the good still, because there's so many things, so many experiences that can alter our perception of the world, of life itself. And those who remain intactful with the positive, the good, are sources of light, rivers of life, rivers of light. And one of my experiences today makes me grateful for the people who know how to drive on our freeways, who understand the rules of the road. So to show gratitude, I'm going to thank you for getting out of the passing lane if you're driving below the speed of someone behind you. So many people don't understand the rules of the road. I have in the past been with a driver. I've been a passenger where the driver has said to me, and I'm quoting, "I'm driving the speed limit. If I'm going too slow, they can move around and go around me." That sounds like something you might say if you're driving in the slow lane. But in the passing lanes, we're so grateful for people who understand that the rule of law is, if the person behind you is doing 1,000 miles an hour, that's their little red wagon if they get pulled over. Your job as a responsible driver is to get out of the way, change lanes, move over to a slower lane. Let the people speeding speed in the passing lane. That is something I'm so grateful for, the people who know how to drive according to the rules of the road. Get out of the way if you're in the slow, in the fast lane, going slow, move out of the way. I mean, there was a news article recently about speed being one of the most dangerous things on the road today. And I'm thinking that's not all necessarily true. Certainly, I'm sure you die faster with the high rate of speed. Your impact can instantly just dematerialize your car and your body if you're going fast enough. But it's really more so the person speeding having to change lanes and weave in and out of traffic, getting around the slow-moving people who are driving in this passing lane. I was witnessing that today. I saw it happen many times. Speeding people would come up in this fast lane, the passing lane, and someone trucking along at whatever speed refused to get out of the way, voluntarily staying in that lane, intentionally staying in that lane. I don't understand why someone is on their tail, you get out of the way. You shouldn't have to tailgate someone. So we're grateful for people who know how to move over, because the speeder is maybe breaking the law by going above the speed limit, but that's not your call to judge how fast or the penalty for driving fast. Your job is to get out of the way, move over to the slower lane. So we're thankful for you. I'm grateful for people who know the rules of the road. Get out of the passing lane if you're not going fast enough. You're a road hazard. You're a danger to everyone. So I'm grateful for people who know how to drive and get out of the lane that they should not be driving in. There's a slow lane. Get in that lane. And it's such a smoother ride when you know the rules of the road. And you don't provoke irritability, because that's what happens. You're driving along, and especially after brain trauma, there's a quick trigger for many of us after brain trauma. We've learned that we're easily triggered, and it can be something simple like somebody who's not aware of the road rule of getting out of the way. If you're in the passing lane, getting out of that lane if someone is faster than you coming behind you. So that irritability is something that we live with after trauma. And it's one of the things that we are hopefully each working on as we progress in our journey with brain trauma. And I have a few tips for you tonight for dealing with that irritability, one of the consequences, symptoms left after brain trauma. One is identifying your triggers. Make a note, e.g. hunger, fatigue, overwork, disorganized, particular people maybe who trigger us. We have to find ways to work on these issues. First step, though, is to identify the triggers. If we know that hunger makes us become foully irritable, keep snacks with us. Maybe in your car while driving, you have a little eyeglass container above your head the little box that you press the button, it opens up and you can put your glasses in there, and the center of your windshield and the inside of the car, you put your glasses in there. I keep a pack of crackers in there, some just whatever your choice for, a little snack that will fit in there with your glasses as an emergency snack for if you're not up to your feeding schedule and you need a snack and you're pressed for time, open it up and pow, there's a little snack. So find your triggers. Hunger is a trigger. Find places to keep food, and so that if you find yourself hungry, you have it. Oh, there's a trigger response. I can get this and not be so hungry. And if you're fatigued, sometimes that'll trigger your irritability. Rest. Learn when to rest. Get yourself on a schedule. Learn when to sleep, when to take naps, or if you don't nap, when to just meditate or find a way to relax yourself so that fatigue isn't overwhelming and becomes a trigger for you. Overworking is one of those things that may trigger it. So schedule yourself to work smart so you don't work so hard. Disorganization sometimes can trigger you because you can't find something. You're searching and searching on your desk or in your house or your office, and you're just so flabbergasted that you can't find something. Organization might help with that. So find your triggers and work on ways to resolve that. And some people can become triggers. So once you identify someone as a trigger, you might find ways to associate with them without putting them in a position to trigger that irrational irritability. Maybe texting is a better suit for you than actual in-person conversations or interaction. Or if texting is a means for them to access your calm state and trigger you, find other ways to maybe, if you have to, not communicate with them or compromise your time that you compromise with them. Whatever it takes, whatever your trigger, identifying it is the first step. So we will work on that. And we will now take another music break. I mean, this is Thanksgiving Conversation and Music with Terry Smith tonight on Surviving Head Trauma. So let's find another song. Let's do Richard Schuping again. You'll find him on YouTube. Check him out. Richard Schuping. This one is Namasate. Let's be back in 6 minutes, 34 seconds. Richard Schuping on Brain Injury Radio Network. I'm Terry Smith, your host of Surviving Head Trauma. Richard Schuping. Namaste. There's something to be said for everything that helps ease our irritability and finding peace, even when we don't think there is peace, is one of the biggest accomplishments we can make after brain trauma, and really any life trauma, life experience sometimes, the things going on around us in this world, this ever-changing world, this growing world, this planet we live on is an ever-growing place for life. Hopefully, a revolution of consciousness will happen, is happening, and will continue to grow as we grow in this planet. And that's a part of dealing with life is dealing with the trauma and overcoming it. And one of the next steps to doing that with, for example, irritability, and when we don't have things going the way we would like them to go, is getting our bodies moving. That's number two on our list. Identifying our triggers was first. Second is getting our bodies moving. Exercising could be a great way to help us cope with the challenging situations and the increases in our struggle in this life, because we find that exercise can release dopamine in our body, the dopamines that give us joy, give us peace. So we can find exercise to be a valuable asset in this recovery process if we're able to exercise. Some of us are not left with the ability to do so as much as we once were before the accident or whatever caused our trauma. So we do what we can with what we have where we are. And for some of us, that's a little bit more physical. Some of us, it's a little bit more creative ways to exercise. Maybe we'll find ourselves standing up and sitting down, doing that repeatedly as much as possible, or just walking, simple task of walking, if we're able to. Some people can't. So we find what we can do and work with what we have and go from there, because we all are able to do something. It's the mindset that we find ourselves as our strength after the change in our lives. If it was a traumatic trauma, I mean a traumatic brain injury that left us less capable than we were prior to the injury, accident, or whatever caused our brain a neurological transition from this moment until everything being different after this moment. So we do the best we can. Limit our stimulants, such as caffeine, colas, coffee. We want to get a little less pumped up in the blood with outside stimuli, things that give us so much rush, but then crash. We find ourselves irritable when that crash happens. So we want to limit the stimulants. It's number three on our list. Limit the stimulants. Now, I see a lot of callers on the line tonight, which is nice. Thank you for joining us. Welcome. We'd like to remind you that if you'd like to speak live, press 1 on your keypad, your dial pad, and I will see an emoji go up in the studio, and I'll bring you on air. So you can listen if you'd like. And if you're joining us via your computer or phone or iPad or however you access the internet, if you're at blogtalkradio.com/brain injury radio, there's a chat room on the screen. You'll see an opportunity to type what you'd like to discuss tonight or have discussed, because you can type directly into the studio and I'll see what you're typing and I will discuss it, bring it up. And you don't have to actually speak if you prefer to communicate that way. There's so many ways to reach us on this show. Daily, you can find us on Surviving Head Trauma page on Facebook. You can leave us notes there, write to us directly. Write to us under one of the posts that we post daily. You can say whatever you'd like, and I will read it, or someone in the network will read it, and we will address it there on the page, or save it for the show and discuss it on this live broadcast, which we have each month on the fourth Thursday, 10 p.m. until midnight Eastern Standard Time. We'd like to also thank Brooks Rehabilitation Clubhouse. The one I'm referencing right now is located in Jacksonville, Florida. We like to thank them because they are one of the few clubhouses in the world, actually, for survivors and family members to join in a daily interactive environment with other survivors and clinicians who are there to assist in your recovery process or in your daily journal, if you will, for reintegrating into the mainstream. Because some survivors are not left as mobile as others, some more severe than others, and we have a wide range, a plethora of places to land after we've been injured or suffered some type of neurological transition. So there are resources out there. Brain Injury Association of America is a great start. And if you're fortunate enough to have a type of environment like Brooks Rehabilitation Clubhouse, you should participate if you're able, if you're ready for that level of change and growth in your recovery process, because there's nothing like hands-on interaction with other people who can relate to what you're going through, because many people who survive are left with only people who have not been through trauma or brain injury or some type of neurological transition. And the people around you don't understand what you're dealing with. They see you at face value and assume that everything is fine. You've recovered from your trauma or your brain issue. And nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, sometimes it's harder to identify issues in survivors. Sometimes it's quite obvious, but for the times when it's not so obvious, it can be frustrating, a trigger, if you will, for other people trying to understand why you're behaving the way you are or not behaving at all, but becoming a recluse or isolated, if you will. And that can be frustrating for both the people observing you and you, because there's not a lot of compassion if they don't quite grasp what you're dealing with. So a place like Brooks can not only facilitate your own growth, but when you get better, the people around you are able to deal with your transition better because they can see that you're at least working on the issues that you're left with. Even though no fault of your own, you're forced now to live with the reality that you're left with. And sometimes simple compassion from other people can help that journey be less frustrating. But sometimes those people can't quite give you that compassion when they don't quite grasp it, or they think they have a handle on it and don't. So seeking a place like Brooks Clubhouse is an excellent start. Limiting alcohol consumption. This is our number four on this list of ways to combat irritability or frustration. Don't drink so much. That one's pretty simple. Alcohol, you might think, is a good, I need something to relax, something to give me more peace, maybe put me more at ease. Contrary to that, it can be a much more severe problem if it becomes a continuous resource of comfort and peace, because it can make us do things we wouldn't ordinarily do. So compounding our scars from brain injury or brain trauma or brain change, it's going to be compounded with problems when we're no longer containing our outbursts, our emotions, our moods, if you will, and mixing the two often does not end well. Most of the time does not end well. So stop drinking alcohol. At least modify it considerably if you are turning to the bottle or the can or however you administer the alcohol. We won't call it a demon yet, but it can turn into an evil demon if not monitored, regulated, eliminated if necessary, but certainly limiting alcohol consumption is one of the best things we can do. So we work with what we have and make the most of it. I mean, everyone is going to die at some point. That's a given. When we're born, the time clock starts ticking until the day we are no longer alive on spaceship Earth, soaring through space so fast we don't even feel ourselves moving. Knowing that everyone is going to die, the question becomes, how do you want to live? So we make conscious choices. And making those choices without alcohol affords us the ability to make perhaps wiser, smarter choices, more reasonable, logical choices. With that, we'll take another song. How about we jump into one of my favorite groups, Rat Bat Blue. So check them out on YouTube. It's spelled exactly the way it sounds. Rat Bat Blue. Check them out. Just You. Be back in 6 minutes. Surviving Head Trauma with Terry Smith.
Just you.
Just you, Rat Bat Blue. And it's really just you. It really is just you after surviving head trauma. No one is going to go through your journey for you. It's just you. And that's why we're here, Surviving Head Trauma, to help you get through that journey. In fact, while you were listening to Surviving Head Trauma's song of the night, one of the songs of the night, Just You, I signed into Surviving Head Trauma on Facebook, and I just realized you, if you're on the air and want to visit the page while you're there, feel free to contact us and say something on the page while you're listening to the show on air live, and I'll see you there. So there's so many ways to reach us. If you'd like to communicate, you don't always have to call. I mean, if you miss one of the live shows, you can reach out any day of the week to Facebook and drop us a note on the page, Surviving Head Trauma. We also would like to thank our co-host, Michelle. Michelle is not with us tonight. It's a holiday, Thanksgiving, so I'm sure she's busy with family or friends doing something, or at this point, almost 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, maybe recovering from a long day of giving thanks for all the things we're grateful for on this special day. We should give thanks and gratitude every day. Every day that we wake up should be a glorious moment, despite the things that may have traumatized our lives. Grateful for the fact that we have another day to add to our list of accomplishments. We woke up when so many people did not. So with that, we're grateful. And we're grateful for Michelle, too, who joins us occasionally on the show as a co-host. And wherever you are out there, Michelle, we are saying hello to you and thanking you, too. Now, the next thing on our list for working with irritability as a survivor, we want regular sleep. Ideally, you want to get 7 hours of sleep on a routine that we keep rather consistent, same time each night if possible, and not deviate from that weekends or whenever we might do something out of ordinary, the schedule changes. Try to at least get the sleep part in and make that a constant on the schedule, on the routine that we train our bodies to hopefully allow it 7 hours, 8 hours even. So if you can get six, seven, 8 hours would be ideal. You can get more, better. Okay. You can get more, great. So you can get more, great. If not, just do what you can. We use what we have when we can and how we can. So we work on adjusting that routine to keep the body regulated. And if you can get more, it's even better. Yes. All right. Now, the next thing is to reframe your thoughts, because many of the things we deal with are a result of our mindset, how we perceive things. Reframing our thoughts can help us work on our cognitive behavior and modify things that are out of whack, if you will. So our mindset, rather than seeing things for what they are not, see what you can find that are. Oftentimes we focus on what we're missing so much that we lose sight or grasp of what we have in the here and the now. What remains? What is left? What do we have? What is the residual effect? What is the result? What is the residual effect, and how does it affect us? What can we do to see it in a more positive light, a more positive onset to a more positive outcome? What can we do to make ourselves shine on the good and not become dulled by the bad? There's going to be good and bad we find in most anything in life. Good and bad are almost necessary for relativity to become effective. We don't want to to see good unless we know what bad is. We can't see sadness unless we know what great joy is. So if we've been deprived by the losses that we have as a consequence or result of traumatic experience, we won't know what good remains. So we have to focus on the good. We focus on the good and the good gets better. That's generally the rule of life, regardless of the consequence of whatever trauma we've been through or are going through, because we know that nothing stays forever. Change is our only constant. So with that, we focus on the good at all times the best we can, because that is ultimately our savior, if you will, what's going to get us from sadness and heartbreak to finding our joy, finding our heart mender. What mends our heart? What makes us happier? We'll find a way if we positively focus our mindset. So mindset, reframing our thoughts. It sounds hard sometimes in the beginning, even sometimes at the middle or the close to the end. We sometimes have to struggle to do that, but it's essential if we want to achieve a higher level of life experience, even after trauma. It's certainly possible using what we have while we have life can make us so much stronger, bigger than what tried to kill us or almost killed us. Moving away from the situation sometimes is essential. So whatever is causing the irritability, moving away from it sometimes is the answer. Learning to take deep breaths to refocus those thoughts, to regain your control. Because control is one of the things that isn't always easy to maintain after brain transition. So we work on that by sometimes stepping away from the situation, stepping back a bit, if you will. Because sometimes that momentary deep breath, that momentary stepping away, walking yourself around the corner or around the block, if you will, readdressing yourself mentally, readdressing the issue mentally, readdressing the mood can make a tremendous difference in going off your handle, flying the coop, saying or doing something you regret later. That momentary pause, that deep breath, that walk around the block can sometimes be a miraculous transition from what you may have done in prior situations like this or that. So we work on mindset. We work on moving ourselves away from that situation to develop that mindset. Almost at the top of the hour, almost 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you're listening to us live, raise your hand if you're on the switchboard, if you've made it through the maze of getting to the switchboard. And if you haven't called, please do so. The phone number is country code 1 if you're outside of the United States. And if it's, the area code is 424-243-9540. 424-243-9540. And we press 1 if you want to speak online. If you're on the internet at blogtalkradio.com/brain injury radio, you can talk in the chat room and I'll see you typing what you'd like to say or have addressed tonight. If you're listening to us on an archived show, whether it's morning, noon, or night, we still wish you love and hope you get something from tonight's conversation, Music and Thanksgiving with Terry Smith. I'm Terry Smith, your host, and your monthly guide to surviving head trauma. I'm also the writer of the book, Surviving Head Trauma by Terry Smith. You can find Surviving Head Trauma anywhere books are sold, and it can be delivered to your door if you order it online. And you can do that anywhere, again, books are sold, Surviving Head Trauma. And we're going to listen to another 30-second post from Brain Injury Association of America.
Research, treatment, and support speed recovery for the more than 2.5 million children and adults who sustain traumatic brain injuries in the United States each year. March is Brain Injury Awareness Month. Support research and better access to care and let people with brain injuries know that they are not alone. Call 1-800-444-6443 or visit www.biausa.org to learn more about brain injury.
BIAUSA.org. You can find a chapter near you. Give them a call or look them up online, and you can find some additional resources to what you may have. Great organization. They not only work with you in the field out there, but they also work on Capitol Hill for us, doing things that you may not see being done to help us in legislature and on Capitol Hill. So you have a great resource with the Brain Injury Association of America. And with that said, we maybe take another song right now. And I don't throw this out every month, but tonight is one of those relaxed episodes where we aren't diving into a specific topic with a guest. So since we're just kind of rolling through the field tonight, if you are a musician or know a musician or band and have music that you'd like to share your rights to play on air, give us a note and maybe we'll listen to your music and play it on air. So we're always looking for original music, new music that we might share with our audience. With that in mind, we have one more song from Rat Bat Blue. We've heard Just You. Now let's try Meanwhile at Home. Rat Bat Blue, Meanwhile at Home. Check them out on YouTube. Rat Bat Blue, Meanwhile at Home. I'm Terry Smith, your host, Surviving Head Trauma, Brain Injury Radio Network. I'd do anything for you. That's Rat Bat Blue with Just Meanwhile at Home. So, anything for you. I'd do anything for you. I would. I'm Terry Smith, your host, and I would. If I could, I'd take all of your pain away. If I could, I'd show you a bright new way. I'm trying. Every month I come on air and I hopefully give you something that might give you hope, might inspire you to go beyond what you think is your tightrope and find a peaceful place to walk, a peaceful place to fly through this space we call life, through this heavens, the cosmos, planet Earth, riding fast, soaring fast, so fast you don't even see us moving. You can't, but we're certainly soaring through space, through the heavens. So many people wait, they look and they wait for heaven. They wait for a place paved with streets of gold when they miss the sunsets and sunrises of golden skies. Already in heaven, we're floating in space. We're in heaven right now. If we could open our eyes and see it and live it, we'd realize we're already in heaven. We're floating in heaven's space. We're floating in heaven's space and wait until we die to go to some place made of paved gold streets. What is that? Man-made gold streets. We put value on gold. Why would something so wonderfully magical of heaven need gold? That's a man-made defined possession. We put the value of everything on everything. A rock of clay could be valuable if we so decided. The true gift of heaven is right before our very eyes, right in front of us. You don't need a brain injury to see that. You simply need to open your eyes. Hopefully we'll see that one day when enough of us realize that it's right in front of our face. Heaven's face. Floating in heaven's face.
Now is the time for us to come together in mind. We're all floating in heaven. What are we fighting? Choose today.
Peace of mind. no matter what we've learned. Unless we combine our concerns, we'll never stop fighting to defend the little that we think we know. If some men learn and grow within trouble to keep others low, progress is better.
Floating in heaven's face. That's what we're doing. We're floating around the cosmos on this spaceship called Earth, flooring our speed so fast that we don't even see ourselves moving. Floating in heaven's face. We're in heaven. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it because, well, we haven't quite learned to appreciate what we have. We're focused so much on what we don't know, what we don't have. We don't grow. But number 8 on our list is make time for downtime. So we're so bombarded with so many things in the world, war going on, poverty going on, hunger going on, people crashing into each other because of the most absurd, obscene things. You'd think the whole world was brain traumatized. Making time for downtime sometimes is what we need, because you become so fatigued that we begin to feel burned out, and being burned out, well, makes us feel as if we can't go on. And we certainly can go on with the right mindset, rest, aptitude, and desire. We can almost do anything we want. Sometimes we need a little push, but a little downtime gives us time to rejuvenate. So make sure we find ourselves resting when needed, making time for downtime. And number 9, talking with someone who cares about you. That sometimes seems harder than it sounds. I mean, we have access to people in our immediate environment. At least we think. I mean, with social media, we can go out there and meet people, but sometimes you don't meet the right people. So it's a matter of being selective in your access, allowing people to have access to you, people you reach out to find. I mean, there are people around us who are good for us and people who may not be so good for us. Finding the right ones, learning to decide who is good for us, who is not good for us, and sometimes not hanging ourselves by following the wrong ones, the ones who might otherwise lead us astray into something that can be worse than what we've been through with head trauma. Surviving it is one thing, but thriving afterwards is a whole other topic that we struggle the rest of our lives dealing with, especially depending on the severity of the trauma to the brain trauma. We have to look a little harder sometimes, be a little bit more discerning about what we take in, what we hear, what we listen to, what we absorb as truth, because it can be so easily misconstrued and something that guides us to a growing tree that ultimately hangs ourselves. We don't want to hang ourselves because we can grow if we use what we have in positive ways, and that is finding out what triggers us, finding ways to change course from things that will trigger us into violent outbursts or unnecessary drama. Gaining control over our home and our work life can help. Asking for help is not a bad choice. If you're asking for help from the right source, sometimes you ask for help from people who might want to see you fail. there are people in our world, on our planet, on the spaceship Earth, like that, and come disguised as sheep, but would certainly eat us if we let our guards down. So that discernment comes with paying attention, deep attention, not just swallowing what sounds good, but looking a little deeper and knowing when to gain control of your thoughts, because sometimes our thoughts can be our downfall, our wolves in sheep clothing. Our own thoughts can be our saviors if we open our minds and research life, what goes on around us, because research in more than one source, if we take one person's opinion of something and we follow that one person or people like that person, who knows where we'll end up? It's a matter of getting multiple sources of information in our lives and guidance. After what we've been through, we can so easily be misguided. So it's a matter of finding multiple sources and listening to the logic with open minds and not letting our blind eyes guide us into a bottomless pit and fall off the spaceship, which is going so beautifully through space, so well designed, so well built. Clouds in the sky, the sunlight coming through those clouds, the sunrise, the sunset, the moon at night, the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful spaceship we're on in heaven, soaring through the space of heaven, this cosmos we live in. We don't have to look for heaven. Just open our eyes and see it. Help us live with this trauma so that it's no longer something of despair, but something greater than fresh air. Because once you realize where you are in heaven's face, you don't have to go somewhere to get it. It's not something out yonder. It's right here. So let's rise to the occasion. Cindy Cook is the singer behind this song. Find her on YouTube. C-Y-N-D-I. Cindy Cook, rising to the occasion.
Thank you.
Cindy Cook, rise to the occasion. That's what we need, to rise to the occasion, to find people in our lives who will rise to the occasion and not just use us and manipulate us with their artificial words, artificial messages, but learning to research and find out people around us, what they're saying, what they mean, and not just being blind to what we are given. Oftentimes, people think, oh, that's a brain trauma patient. We'll run the wool over his or her eyes. It'll be easy because their sense of reality or sense of perception is askewed now. We don't necessarily find that to be true. If we believe in ourselves and trust people we've vetted, and seen work in our best interest can do with us and for us. So let's not blind ourselves so much in this journey of returning to reality after our experience of brain trauma. And part of that journey is also learning how to deal with our disabilities, if you will, and sometimes memory of what we've been through can stop us from going in the direction we want to go in, because if we don't remember what we've been through, we'll forget where we're going and not mean to, but repeat our history, repeat our past. You've probably heard, if you don't remember your history or study your past, you're doomed to repeat it. And that's true. If you don't remember what you've been through, if you don't remember the examples you've learned, you're going to repeat it. So rather than repeating our history, we learn from it and grow from it. And one of the best things we can do is organization. Before smartphones, before mobile apps, we had good old-fashioned day timers, calendars that we carried around in a book. You write in your day timer what you're planning to do next week, and you'd write what you're doing this afternoon, this morning. You keep a calendar of all of your activities, your plans, your appointments, your functioning journal, your day journal, if you will, your day timer. With the onset of mobile apps, your smartphone can also be a great tool in your traumatic experience while we're floating around in heaven through the cosmos on spaceship Earth. We find a great resource in a mobile calendar app. I can't speak for many phones. I don't know all the apps that are available and how they function, except I'm thinking maybe if a universal app is a universal app. But I know the iPhone has a calendar app. It's a mobile calendar for your phone that I live by. I basically keep my entire life structured in this calendar. And that's a great tool for organizing your life, especially after trauma has taken your memory and tossed it into a pond somewhere. You may remember big things, things of consequential importance to you, but routine things that are kind of mundane slip so quickly that you can watch the same television show or movie repeatedly, and it's always new each time until maybe you've seen it 100 times, and then you might remember a bit of it. At least I can say that from my experience. I'm a survivor. I'm Terry Smith, your host on Surviving Head Trauma on the Brain Injury Radio Network. We broadcast each month, this show at least, on the fourth Thursday, 10 p.m. until midnight Eastern Standard Time. Each night of the week, you can find a different show on Brain Injury Radio Network. Tonight, we're relaxing after Thanksgiving. And this episode is Thanksgiving Conversation and Music with Terry Smith. I'm your host, Terry Smith, and we've talked about one of the physical things we can do and use to help us, aid us, guide us, and that's the mobile app on your phone. I strongly recommend that app. And once you learn how to navigate through that app, you'll find that it's quite a bit of a lifesaver, a reminder, because in this app, you can schedule something, maybe a doctor's appointment. And rather than trusting your memory or your handwritten sloppy notes or even good ones, it's not the same as recording detailed information. Maybe your doctor can speak into your microphone in your notes section on that doctor's appointment under calendar settings. And you'll get verbatim direct information saved, because unlike the handwritten day timers we used prior to smartphones, these apps allow you to put down as much information as you would like. And then when you need to find it, there's a search mode. You simply type keywords, maybe doctor's visit, your doctor's name or date that you remember, or whatever triggers that actual visit to the doctor or meeting or whatever. You can press search and it'll find it no matter when it was, and it'll pull it up. You can go to the notes and read exactly what happened. You don't second guess what might have been said or what you've forgotten or not remember at all. So strongly recommend the mobile calendar in your app. So whichever phone device you're using, if it's a smartphone, there's probably a mobile calendar for you. And many times these mobile apps can not only be on your phone, but once you put it in that device, it's synced to other devices, your desktop computer or your iPad or your laptop computer. As many devices as you have, one entry in one of those devices or computers or whatever you're using will be found in the other devices. So it's a great app. I strongly recommend it because it's been a lifesaver for my recovery process, and it's an ongoing process. You never stop growing or recovering after brain trauma. So if you're new to this experience, realize that you don't have an end date for recovery, but ongoing recovery process for the rest of your life. You might even use a whiteboard. Develop a whiteboard schedule in your home, or if you're working, your office, or wherever you can put a whiteboard. You can make a little chart or big chart. Sometimes big visuals help our journey because we see imprint what we may not remember in our brain. Our cognitive functions may have been disabled a bit, so we find outside aids, and the mobile app is one, but a big whiteboard is another one. You can draw columns, make rows in the columns, and really organize your life and your daily routine or whatever it is that you need to see to make yourself more consciously aware of what's going on in your life so you don't lose track of your life. Because it's so easy to do when you don't remember what is supposed to be done or what has been done. Remembering doesn't have to be something you rely on your brain to do for you. It can be something you write in your calendar or on your whiteboard. Using labels can help you find things or store. Using labels in your office, you can maybe, or your home or your bedroom or wherever you are, put white boards or post-it notes, whatever, different colors, white, blue, green, red, yellow, orange. Different colors can start to represent different things. So if you have, for example, a list of mail, a box of mail that needs to go out, maybe a certain color for your post-it notes over a file in your home or office for unread mail, and then red mail, and then things that you need to do as a result of that mail. Different colors mean different things. I need to act on this mail. I need to respond to this mail. I need to follow up a phone call. I need to follow up an email. I need to follow up a text. So different colors can be great guides labeling your work. Keeping things in the same location is also a great structure for us, because when we find ourselves missing or not knowing where something is, it's usually because it's not in the same place all the time. Even without brain trauma or some type of memory impairment, this is a good habit. In fact, my mother and father, something they taught me when I was a child before my brain trauma, that's when you finish with something, put it back where it belongs. Always. You should be able to find it in the dark if necessary, because you know where it is so well. So keep things in the same location. And when you finish using it, put it back where it belongs, so that you can find it at any time, dark room or well-lighted ones. You can find it anytime if you keep it in the same location every time. repetition. That's what it becomes. You know where it is because you keep it there all the time. You don't need to remember where it is because you know where it is. It's amplified in your mind. So we find ourselves wondering, what do we do to get back on track when we wake up from the coma that we may have been in after trauma? Depending upon the severity of your injury, you might not know where to start. That comes with time. And also reaching out to resources, Brain Injury Association of America, places like Brooks Rehab, if you don't have one in your town. In fact, Jacksonville has one of the few in the world, but there are other organizations like those, Brain Injury Association of America and Brooks Rehab, that may be in your area that I don't know about. So it's about researching. And that's something that if you aren't able to do on your own, at least ask someone who you trust as a good researcher to help you find. Finding an outside resource is a good step for whichever stage you are in for recovery. So when it looks like rain, you can always find shelter if you search. In fact, here's our next song from Cindy Cook, Looks Like Rain, on Surviving Head Trauma with Terry Smith, Brain Injury Radio Network.
Yesterday, we both had a party. nothing left to talk about.
Looks Like Rain, Cindy Cook on Surviving Head Trauma with Terry Smith on the Brain Injury Radio Network. Thank you for joining us tonight. If you are still with us out there in this spaceship soaring through the heavens, we're on our mission, and that's to find ourselves again after we've been so rattled and rocked by this trauma, this unexpected reality we find ourselves in. Sometimes rising to the occasion and looking like rain can be a little difficult, daunting task. I mean, just sometimes we need to find a way to break through all the madness, the pouring rain, the winding roads. One of the things we can do, another one of the things we can do, rather, is the management of our medication. We find ways to stay on track of that because that becomes of vital importance. Because errors in medicine management can be lethal, fatal, if you will. I mean, taking an overdose can be done accidentally. You don't always have to do it intentionally. Sometimes if you take too much of the same medication, you die because you've just forgotten you've taken it and take it again, forgotten it, take it again, forgotten it, take it again, forgotten it, take it again until you're dead. So to avoid that, we find skills to avoid that by maybe placing medication, if we're on it, in pill boxes with days labeled. So that when we look at that box, we open the lid for that day, we either see the medicine in it or we don't. If it's in there, we haven't taken it. If it's not in there, we have taken it. And you can get so many different types of medicine containers. I mean, calendar boxes, pill boxes, if you will, that not only have the days of the week, but different times of the day. So if you take certain medicines at maybe three times a day or different medicines multiple times of the day, you can put each medicine, the time box for that day, for every day of the week, and each week refill it so that you're never confused about if you've taken medication or if you haven't, so that you can stay on track. Because many of the medicines we take are vital for our existence. If you maybe have a seizure disorder and you take medicine for that twice a day, once a day, three times a day, four times a day, it's sometimes easy to forget where you are if you're just trusting your memory, which is already defective, impaired, or maybe non-existent. So then it becomes vital importance that you have an aid in this case to monitor your intake. And that is not so hard to find. Most drugstores sell those. Most Amazon, I'm sure, or wherever you shop, whatever is your way of acquiring things, you can find medicine boxes. Another tool is actually occupying yourself, finding something to do. Now, this is maybe not immediately after your trauma. If you're new, at this point, you may want to focus on recovery, adequate rest, proper nutrition, things that actually are imperative if you want to heal the body so that it's well enough at least to start going out of the house, of the hospital, or wherever you are in this initial stage. Finding a hobby would be a good idea, because once you keep the mind and body active, it's an effective tool against depression, anxiety, and even pain. So after an injury, it can be difficult to stay active. So you want to find a way that you to do something that you enjoy doing. Maybe volunteering somewhere, finding a hobby, maybe puzzle building. That's a great manipulative for the brain. It's like a workout for the body, except it's for the cognitive function. Puzzle building, solitaire that requires math, or some institution of brain exercise, as much of it as possible, as much of it as you can take in each session for as long as you can. And finding a hobby is maybe volunteering somewhere. So when we talk about Brooks Rehab, that's another source for your active body and mind, because you're interacting with other people, and other people can stimulate parts of your mind and body that you otherwise would not get if you're in total reclusion or isolated so much from society or other people. So interaction is an excellent tool after you recovered initially from that physical barrier. Again, recovery is used cautiously here because there's never a complete recovery. There's always something else to work on after brain trauma. In fact, you sometimes need more time. So give yourself more time. Don't become so impatient with yourself that you aren't giving yourself time to complete activities. Don't let the irritability stop you from working on something that you're trying to complete, because giving yourself time to do what you're doing is essential. It's vital even, because sometimes we take longer. Doesn't mean we can't do it. It just requires more time. Sometimes I'm playing backgammon. That's one of my outlets. I love that game. And sometimes I find myself taking longer to think about my next move. And it can be frustrating to whomever you're playing with, and they might not want to wait. So you just tell them, wait, just give me a moment. Let me think about this. Let me think. Giving yourself more time to complete your activities is essential, not only for your immediate task, but your overall longevity, your overall healing. And time is sometimes a little bit longer than people who've not maybe had severe brain trauma or even a mild trauma get experience. So it just depends upon your individual reality, because two people can have, or five people can have the same injury, same accident, same neurological dysfunction. And each person may have different consequences, different results. You find yours and work on your individual reality. Sometimes photos are great aids in memory. Looking at pictures you've taken, especially with smartphones now, there's really not a time you have to use your reflection, your recollection, if you will, of issues or memories or experiences. You can go to your smartphone and pull out photographs that help you in your memory. And that's another excellent resource for the smartphone or your tablet or however you record pictures. Even if you use regular cameras, the old-fashioned taking a picture with the camera and then taking that now digital image and reviewing it, looking at pictures that you take to refresh your life experience. So you find ways to deal with your deficits, identifying your deficits, and then working on ways to overcome that deficit. Pictures, one of the greatest ways to overcome that deficit. Sticking to a routine is one of the other things. Like we said earlier, it's a matter of training the body, and training the body and mind often comes from doing the same thing, same time, each day. In our case, surviving head trauma, for example, each month on the fourth Thursday between 10 p.m. and midnight, I know that I'm hosting this show live. So my body is, after so many years now, is regulated. So I know when it's time, my show is due to start at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's like clockwork. I go on autopilot and I know that it's time to migrate to the studio and for 2 hours, either talk with a guest or talk with callers or talk about whatever I've outlined and made for the show. And it's a ritual. It's a habitual thing that we do. So sticking to a routine becomes of a great aid to those of us with brain trauma or living with something that has impaired our cognitive function. So we do the best we can with what we have while we are here on the spaceship in heaven, floating around in heaven's face. So with that, we'll find another song. maybe Rise to the Occasion. No, we've already played Rise to the Occasion. You know why I know that? Because I have notes here. As we do the show, I take notes. And each time I play a song, I write down the song I've played. And here, I see Rise to the Occasion. Rather than playing the song twice, I look at my notes and I see I've already played that. So I have another one. Where Do Lovers Go? Cindy. Lovers isn't just a sexual thing. Lovers, I mean, we find lovers in life, just people who love life, people who love us, love. And after trauma, traumatic events, whether you're a brain trauma patient or a caregiver of someone who's been brain traumatized, you wonder where are the lovers? Where are the people who love life? Where are the people who love love? Because life can become such a frightening place if your mindset, as we've talked about earlier, mindset is key to wondering and to discovering. So we wonder, we discover, And we find, if we search and look in the right places, follow the right voices. And sometimes that's difficult. But one of the things that can help us is fundamentally trusting ourselves and using what we have and doing what we can in the here and now, the present, trusting ourselves that we can do this. We have to believe in ourselves and trust ourselves, and we can do this. We can get through this, and we can get better, better and better and better and better. But until we are no longer alive, we have to get through this thing called life on this spaceship called planet Earth, floating in heaven through the cosmos of heaven. We're in heaven. We just have to find a way to realize it and appreciate it and live it. Because even in heaven, there's going to be a distraction or two, or maybe even more. It's about finding our place in heaven. And one of the ways to get through heaven is having emergency information with us at all times after trauma. Having something that has a contact person's information. If something were to happen to us, maybe we have a seizure and lose consciousness, or we fall and we hit our heads again. Because people who go through brain trauma, actual accidental or otherwise, are more likely to do it again. And if so, it could be more severe on the second time. And in cases like that, having emergency contact information is essential. Maybe a list of your medications. There are even chains you can wear around your neck or your wrist. Medic alerts with your medications, your allergies, contact information. So you want to find ways to travel at all times with some type of identifying newsworthy material on you, information, phone numbers, medications, allergies, in such a way that it's easily discovered if you're incapacitated for whatever reason, whether it's a seizure, a blackout, or you become just confused for some unknown reason. Cognitively, you become disabled so that you're not quite sure. It's always a good idea to have identifying emergency information in your presence, on your body, on your person, if you will. So with that, we have covered quite a bit tonight between songs, and we've talked about a lot of ideas and a lot of philosophies even about this heaven place we're in, and not realizing it because we're so conditioned and educated about finding heaven somewhere else, or finding a reward somewhere else, out yonder somewhere, where we're living in it already. But it's to the financial benefit of so many other people if we come to them for guidance and to finding this here ever after place. Maybe all that's true. Maybe it's not. I don't know. I'm not the answer giver. But I certainly know what I see when I look into the sky, into the ocean, into the eyes of people of love. I know what it feels like, and I know that after trauma, it may be harder to see, but certainly it's here if we open our eyes and look around. It's about reality. What is reality? Reality. One of the last few things we'll do tonight is listen to the song about reality. Back in 3 minutes.
Oh, what a wonderful place it would be. Just look around at reality.
You will see.
The reality of heaven, where we are, even after brain trauma, surviving head trauma, Terry Smith on the Brain Injury Radio Network. Join us next month, December 4th, Thursday, 10 p.m. until midnight. Thank you for joining us. Whether you're listening to us live or to an archived show, we wish you love, and we'll talk with you
soon. Come your way.